young man extends both hands. Case 54, pointer. Having penetrated through and out of birth and death, he sets his devices in motion. Perfectly at ease, he shears through iron and cuts through nails. Wherever he goes, he covers heaven and covers earth. But say, whose behavior is this? To test, I'm citing this old case. Look. Case. Young man asked the monk, where did you come here from? The monk said, Sichuan. Young man said, what words and phrases are there at Sichuan these days? The monk extended both hands. Young man slapped him once. The monk said, I'm still talking. Young man then extended his two hands. The monk was speechless, so young man hit him.
Pointer. Having penetrated through and out of birth and death, he sets his devices in motion. Devices means living function, or living working, vivid working. So he set vivid working in motion. Not idealistically. Anyway, he uses living working as it is, beyond concept. He sets his devices in motion. Having penetrated through and out of birth and death, penetrate through means penetrate through birth and death is not served to see birth and death objectively. Birth and death must be taken as your own problem of life and death. Usually we deal with life and death objectively in many ways. Penetrating is penetrating your skin, muscle, bone, and marrow. So there is no gap between life and death, problem of life and death between life and death and you. Your skin manifests itself as really living functions of life and death, exactly beyond your speculation. But totally, generally speaking, we as a human being are difficult to understand this one because of human consciousness. The trees, birds, nature, if you see nature, trees, birds, snows, sunset, the morning sun, sunrise. They manifest themselves as they really are. we have also mind, but this mind, your mind, is minds are very universal. Very universal, fitting into certain circumstances from moment to moment. And their mind also functions, in a sense, instinctively. Instinctive. The human instinct is almost the same as instinct of the trees, birds, but a little bit complicated because we have a different type of consciousness. And also this instinct functions connected with, very closely with the memories, heredities, and six senses, and also seventh and eighth, and anyway, human consciousness is very complicated. So instinct doesn't work well alone, separate from human heredity and memories and consciousness. So that's why human instinct is very strong and also very simple in a sense, but very sticky, very sticky, and very complicated. We don't know. It's very interesting. Because it's connected. But instinct which the birds, trees, nature possesses functions in simple way. That's why if you see nature, we feel really beautiful. Because our consciousness, our instinct works in that way. Our instinct doesn't work in that way. So if you see the nature, you can see something which you have never experienced, what you have never seen before. That's why it's really impressive to you. It's appealing to you. Because originally nature, our nature is just like this. Just like that, but we don't do it, we don't experience that way. But nature, trees, birds, snows, winters, all things teach us. That's why we love nature, we love wilderness, we love sky, we love sunset, anyway. The human consciousness, human beings possess human consciousness, letting us always slipping out of this simple functioning of the mind. So, but in good sense, we can really understand deeply that, what would you say, the exquisite manifestation of existence, like trees, rivers, and streams, and mountains, like that. And also we suffer a little bit in from our life in order to seek for that exquisite, well, manifestation of existence. It's called Buddha nature. It's called universal life, point, let us fit to every circumstances and let us live free, so-called peace and harmony. So we suffer a lot from our life in order to seek and because we reflect upon ourselves, we reflect upon our consciousness, we reflect upon everyday life in many ways. That's when we suffer. Trees burst and the streams, and it doesn't reflect upon. But a human consciousness, characteristic of human consciousness, always let us reflect upon our physical, mental actions, whatever it is, always we reflect. That's when we suffer. We cannot just pass by. So we always see, we can always see the present and also past and the future. For long run, we can see. And we try to manage human life through the past to the future. Anyway, whole world, we try to manage. See, how we should understand, how we should live, what human life is, what human world is, extended into past, present, future, that is characteristic of human mind. So, briefly speaking, we reflect upon ourselves like this. That's why we suffer. If you suffer, touches the bottom of suffering, the suffering turns into laughter, complete opposite. So through the suffering, you can really be great laughter, great laughter. If you touch the bottom of the suffering, you can be really great laughter. If you become a great laughter, you can see even slightly the light of human life in the darkness. You can see the light in the darkness of human life, so-called suffering. And also, at that time, you can really appreciate human life. You can feel gratitude for your existence as existence. And then, because if you have a deep gratitude, very naturally, you can know how to deal with your life every day. So that is almost the same as tree's life, bird's life, fitting into every circumstance. Almost the same, but quite different between trees and human beings. Human beings can act, can behave, just like birds, trees, mountains, rivers, skies, but still there is very deep understanding. Carrying human suffering, and carrying human great laughter, carrying human reflections, human gratitude, lots of things. So that and those stuff are really content, quality of human life. so quite different. So that's why we have to say like this in the point that says, having penetrated through and out of birth and death. When the birth and death penetrates your life, what is life and death? That life and death is, what would you say, say the kind of being the on the top of the pole, 100 feet high pole, 100 feet high. Okay. Real life and death doesn't give you any space to make excuse for you, for your life, for your death. When the life comes, you really fit into life from moment to moment. When your death comes, we have to really fit in death. That means you are right on the top of that 100 feet high pole, where you can move an inch by your intellectual sense. Practically, you must be there. Even though you don't like it or you like it, beyond like or dislike, anyway, real penetration of life and death is, well, real reality that your life must be right on the top of 100 feet high pole, where you can move it. So life is very simple. Very simple means your consciousness should work in simple way as best as you can, like a trees, birds, skies, and mountains, mind. Just simple work. As best as we can. But actually not, that's where we try to make our mind work in simple way. How? This is our practice. We try to figure out the way how to make it simple. This is our practice because our mind is not simple. But our mind can work simple just like a tree's birth, nature, because you like it. You are really caught by the nature. So that means the original nature of your mind is just like a nature. The apparently mind is complicated, that's why we try to make it simple as best as we can. This is our practice, anyway. So, briefly speaking, life is very simple. Means completely beyond whether you succeed in something or not. All you can do is, all you have to do is to achieve continuity of doing even small things. Continually, anyway. If you can do, this is great life and death. But our consciousness, which is very complicated, always expects something fantastic. So go pros and cons, success and failure, loss and gain, etc. So that wishes and that desires doesn't make your mind simple. A question is that we don't realize it. How your wishes and desires are worked and strongly and finally your life flies in the air with your wishes and desires. And finally, you are bumping each other in the sky with the desires and the wishes, each other's, hurting each other's. Somebody don't know how to live. So always, sometimes people are drifting their life in the air. Finally, they fall into the ground. That is called suffering. So if you realize how complicated, how strongly our wishes and desires work and let us go far from right now, right here, all this far, we go far from right moment. But constantly what you have to do is just be present right now, right here, and be stable. Do something but continually with stable mind, stable attitude. That's all we have to do. Basically, whoever you are. But people always judge you in terms of what just say pros and cons, success and failure. That's why you are irritated if you are not successful. But basically, you really experience deeply human life if you live like this. So that is a penetration, or penetration of life and death. Very simple. Very simple. In other words, penetration of life and death is being right on the top of a 100 feet high fall, where you cannot move an inch, but you cannot stay there. Right there, you have to do it. You have to do something. Means, in the Quran, it says, take one step. One step means, anyway, be present there and do continually, even the small detail. That is take one step. If you keep going like this, you really learn, you really appreciate human life, you really see deeply the human life. So, that because you can really see yourself directly as a problem of life and death, not the intellectual problem. Not the problem of life and death you can understand intellectually or philosophically, no. But it's very difficult to live like this. That's why we have to study like this and study the example of which the Buddhist ancestors have shown us. So, point says, having penetrated through and out of birth and death. Well, the other day I talked with somebody and talking about the prediction of the future for human world. If you predict human world from this point. Well, naturally, most of people are maybe disappointed because we may see something dangerous. But if you stand up in the realm of pessimistic way of life, you can't see optimistic aspect of human life, because you understand, you view human life pessimistically. So you are completely blind to the other aspect of human life. Of course, if you are blind to the other aspect of human life, you are completely blind to see the whole picture of human world. You don't see it beyond pessimism or optimism. You can't see it. You can't. Total picture means anyway. Total means penetration. Problem of life and death. It should be taken as your own problem. Anyway, that is a total picture of human life. You can see. So, if you become pessimistic, you can't see the whole world. But on the end, if you stand up in the realm of optimistic view on human world, you don't understand pessimistic aspect. So what would you like? Want to stand up that or this? Whichever you stand up, it's not good enough for us. Because you always see the human world in terms of a certain angle, so-called pessimism or optimism. So you cannot see anything. Much less you cannot see the problem of life and death as your own problem, as it is. You cannot see the very important problem of life and death. So whatever we predict, prediction is prediction, okay? You should accept prediction. Well, sometimes then. Say then. Sometimes don't take it seriously. But don't ignore. And also every day you cannot lean to either one of them, pessimism or optimism or neutral. You cannot. Every day your life must be right on the top of the 100 feet high pole anyway. This is very serious, very realistic. You are there. For instance, if I sit down here, no escape. Okay? I cannot stop you talking. Whatever you say, okay? Whatever kind of criticism comes, anyway, I cannot stop. I have to do something which I have to do. So this moment after moment, moment I am present in, is completely a situation which I am on the top of 100 feet high pole, and also I have to do on the top of 100 feet high pole. That means keep my mouth shut. Just do it. It's pretty hard, but there is no other way. I cannot stand up in the certain, I cannot see myself, I cannot see your situation in terms of certain angles, so-called pessimistic, pessimism or optimism. I cannot. So all I have to do is beyond pessimism or optimism or neutral. I am constantly on the top of a 100 feet high pole and do something. That is simple. At that time you can understand pessimism or optimism or neutral and also predictions. Because you can understand, you can really penetrate every day. Life and death as it really is. That's why having penetrating through and out of birth and death, he sets his devices in motion. That means you have to set your really living functions in motion, not idealistically. If you understand what lively living life, okay, you have to make it alive anyway. So that is always you have to be on the top of 100 feet high fall according to the Koan, alright? Perfectly at ease, he sears through iron and cuts through nails. Perfectly at ease. If you are on the top of 100 feet high fall, this is attitude toward human life, which is very simple, means free. Just like a nature, trees burst, winter, sun, and that is a what? That is, he sears through iron and cuts through nails, means you have to completely cut off the intellectual functions. The moment when you think of it, it makes you difficult. But you can't ignore the thinking, because thinking is nothing but the energy. So thinking is always coming from the bottom of your life, regardless of whether you like or dislike, it's coming. The question is, you have to deal with your thinking as simple as you can. That is your practice. That is really your practice. You cannot hate thinking, you cannot love, you cannot attach to your thinking. How you should deal with thinking. So that is, he sears through iron and cuts through nail, because if you are on the top of a 100 feet high pole, and also you have to do it, this is completely beyond your intellectual sense. This is your reality, it's real reality you present in every day. From now on, pay attention to that. Your situation every day is exactly being on the top of a 100 feet high fall and do something. You cannot sit on always. You climb the top of the 100 feet high pole by your effort, but next moment you have to throw your effort which you have made and share your life with all sentient beings. That means what? Take one step forward. So that way is really at ease. He shears through iron and cuts and through nails. That's why you can learn this from nature. Nature teaches us like this. That's why we feel nature exquisite, really beautiful. Or wherever he goes, he covers heaven and covers earth. I told you the trees standing straightly in the mountains covered with the snow in the severe sunny weather in Minneapolis is really beautiful, perfectly beautiful. We have never experienced it in California, San Francisco. Of course, nature is nature, wherever you may go, but nature manifests in a different way. Exactly different way. Everyone manifests yourself in a different way from moment to moment. You never repeat same things, even for a moment. That's why nature in this kind of weather is quite beautiful, which you have never experienced in other situations. So, if you see, because if you feel beautiful because trees Anyway, stand up straight by itself in the mountain, but simultaneously that existence, its existence anyway covers heavens and earth, means behind the trees.
Nature?
Yeah. Beautiful nature here. Fitting into the sunset, fitting into the morning sun, sunrise, and colors and white snows, birds. It's really beautiful. So tree is one, but it's not one. Tree is one, but simultaneously behind the one, it is all. That's why in Buddhism always one in all in one. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it just like this. The simple way you can do it is, whoever you are enlightened or you don't enlighten, it doesn't matter. You can do it. How? Zazen is simple way. Zazen is you can do it like this. But say whose behavior is this to test. I am citing this old case that man asked the monk, where did you come from, come here from? This is very common questions which occurs in Koan always, but it's not the usual questions, because from where do you come is really pointing out to the source of existence. You are present there. So if I use the human word, your existence comes from that thought, that source. And we turn to that source. Source comes into this world comes into source. Well, mutually, we do. We say so. But it's not something like that, because simultaneously there is no space to describe. The I comes from source of existence, because I am all it. So I have to see that source within me. Anyway, within me, within everyday life. That means the source means you cannot see the human world in terms of my own view. Okay? But I see the human world in terms of my point of view, but simultaneously I have to put aside my view and see the whole universe behind me, within me, outside of me. I don't know where, but a universe is there. This is just like a tree. This is me. So practice, this is a practice, not just consciousness. So I have to take care of myself, understanding the human world, the human life, in terms of my view, but next moment I have to put aside my views. And then I have to get taste of really deeply whole nature with me, by which my life has been supported, consciously or unconsciously. Where do you come? So we come from the source. But if you say so in a word, but we are cheated by words, so we don't know. We don't know what it means. But anyway, where do you, did you come here from? That's why in the commentary it says,
where did you come here from? The monk said, Xi Shan, this is a direct face-to-face talk, like a flash of lightning. So, the source and you, trees, nature, is exactly one. Just like a flash of lightning. But concept or human consciousness are always separate. That is characteristic of human consciousness. So where did you come here from means anyway, let's see face to face. Let's see the face to face, the problem of life and death. Okay? Let's see yourself directly. Not from certain angle, or from certain teaching, certain isms. Or from certain group. I taught in the Zen in San Francisco about the message of Zen Master in Japan I heard from. He mentioned to us always human beings has to belong to group, and in many ways, without belonging to group, you cannot exist in this world. So when you are born in this world, you belong to American society, and Minnesota society, and Minneapolis society, and finally, was in center in Minneapolis. If you don't like, you have to belong to some other group. If you don't like that, you can belong to I Ching group, or yoga group, or if you don't like anything, you can belong to no group. This is also group. You understand? Remember this one. I don't care. You say, I don't care. I can live by myself. I don't need a group. I don't need anybody's help. You can say, but it is already you belong to. Your life is already belong to people. Or if you, but it's very difficult to deal with yourself by yourself, always standing in your own world. Simultaneously, you want to belong to somebody's. So you don't like philosophy, religions, and etc. And then you can belong to a group of people who are always chatting each other. Drinking wine, some beers, and every day. This is also a group. Pretty good group. But he said, whatever kind of group you belong, it's fine, but watch out, because most of the people are completely overly infatuated with before you are conscious of. Means you become crazy. Okay? In other words, your life is contaminated, polluted by the group, by the ideas or isms. Always. That's very good suggestions for us. Everyone religious, you say Sangha is beautiful, idealistically, we can always mention what Sangha is. But actual situation of Sangha is, well, it's very complicated because Sangha itself is beautiful, but human being has to take care of Sangha, and human being make the Sangha complicated. But Sangha itself is good anyway. But when the human being deal with the Sangha, it's make it complicated. It's very complicated. Do you understand? So question is where? Not with the Sangha, not with the community, not with the society, but with you, human being. That's why we have to realize this one. Okay? We are very easily become crazy by the group, or ideas or isms. Yeah? Then if you get out from that group or community, you are very confused. You don't know what to do. In other words, sometimes you have to go out of the group and you have to stand up by yourself. At that time, you're really confused. You don't know what to do. I experienced in the past, anyway. In a monastery, it's pretty easy to practice. Just follow the schedules, 120 monks there, you know. 120 monks always encourage me. So I thought, my goodness, I attained the enlightenment just like Buddha, Bodhisattva. But when I came back to my temples, there is no 120 monks there, only I and my teacher. And the mountains and the tomb, and graveyard behind the temples. So it's very difficult to practice, you know, in the same way as monastic way. It's very difficult. But I had to stand up by myself anyway and continue to live. It made me confused very much. So, if you really become crazy about in a group, that means you lose subjectivity. You lose yourself. Because you don't stand up by yourself. In other words, you always see yourself or take care of yourself in terms of group, communities. But there is no other way to escape from that. You belong to the group, but you shouldn't look at yourself in terms of group. You have to look at, you have to learn yourself directly. Directly. That's where from do you come? Where do you come from? This question is very important for us. Where do you come from? You come from the group? If you really depend on the group, you say, where do you come from? I come from the group. That means you are just like a robot. You don't have a subjectivity. That is a big problem, okay? Or in other words, you always see or understand your life depending on the group or teaching in terms of certain ism, okay? Yes, it is important. We have to belong to the group teaching, so you have to belong to the teaching. But real growth must be something beyond complete attachment to the teaching. Okay? That is very difficult, how to grow by yourself. But this is our practice. That's why we have to practice anyway. So, you may ask a monk, where did you come from? The monk says, Shishan was one of the Nansen Zen Master's disciples who lived between the 8th and the 9th century. Nansen was the disciple of Basso, Matsu Zen Master. And the monk said, Shishan. So this monk, anyway, had practiced under the guidance of Shishan. So he said, I come from Shishan. The human said, what words and phrases are there at Shishan these days? What did you learn? So what did you learn is also important to us. What do you learn from what? from something objective teaching, we have to hook the teaching, but growth is something real, which you have to take care of by yourself, but you have to hook it. That's why it is difficult. How much you should hook, how much you should depend on the teaching or group or community, and how much you should independent from. That's pretty difficult. For this, you have to wake up always. That's why in Zen we say katsoku. Katsu means awareness, waking up. Okay? Soku means touching. You have to wake up yourself and your life must be grounded. Okay? That is very practical. Every day we have to do it. Because there is a contradictory always. Okay? So, the monk extended the both hands, the man slapped him once. That is pretty good because the monk extended his both hands, means nothing. Okay? But he had to belong to the teaching, but he knows how to inwardly grow. How to grow. Independent from his teaching and group and teacher itself. So that's why I say before, anyway, he knows the way, perfect way of being on the top of 100 feet high pole. So on the top of 100 feet high pole, there is nothing which you have to think intellectually. Because your whole body and mind must be there, exactly there, beyond your speculations, and do something. So he opened his hands. Means he really knows how to live, and he really knows enlightenment. He really knows how valuable his life is, being on the top of 100 feet high pole, where there is nothing, but his life is really leaping fish. But what is that? That is to open his hand. But next moment, the unman, young man, slapped him means. Usually, well, this is a very important point. If you understand emptiness, or if you understand, if you take taste of freedom or happiness, we say yesterday. We can talk about it. We can be there practically. We can demonstrate how happy you are, how free you are, in many ways, using a word or without using a word. Even the Durga Show, exactly, let's say, sincerely, Durga Show, this is also just like the exact same answer, open the hands, you know, extend his hands. But it is not exactly freedom because you always sit on a chair. So-called freedom. That means already you are stuck. That's why next moment he slapped. Means wake up. Okay? You belong to the group, and then you feel good. And that time, this is my life. I don't think this is your life. Okay? Your life is complete beyond. You feel good, you don't feel good. So if you feel good, anyway, fine. And then you have to slap yourself anyway. Wake up, and then next moment what you should do, your life must be grounded, means stand up there. That's why this immense suffering. Anyway, wake up. Anyway, wake up. Or Rinzai also did like this. Rinzai said the Buddha nature anyway comes in and out from your skin and muscle and bone. Okay. If you don't see it from now on, look at it. But monk said, where is that true nature coming in and out from me? So immediately Rinzai took him, shook him. How stupid you are, here it is. The true nature there. And then immediately he was speechless because he realized consciously or unconsciously his speechless means so exactly he is right on the top of 100 feet high pole where no words. Quiet. Rinzai did it like this by shaking him up like this. So no words. In other words, he was very surprised. He was very surprised, but that surprise is perfect surprise, speechless. Astonishment. Exactly perfect astonishment. Nothing to say. That means, in a sense, touching the ground, touching the Buddha nature, touching what the human life is, life and death. The next moment, he pushed him away because he's surprised. He's surprised where he is. Oh, he saw that. Even though he doesn't understand immediately, he saw that. Means accept that Buddha nature. If you accept something, you stay there. You are stuck. That's why next moment he's pushing him away. Okay? If you belong to the group, if you learn something from the teaching, you immediately feel good. If you feel good, immediately you stop by feeling good. But that's fine. That's fine, but you are not free. Next moment, you have to wake up and anyway, ground your life. But very often I heard American students always emphasize feeling good from Zazen, from teaching, from yourself. It's fine, but you cannot always stay your feeling. Everyone has to belong to individual feelings, but you have to learn something more than that. Because nature is there. Trees always feel his own life through the cold weather anyway. Everyone. The next moment we have to wake up because by waking up we have to learn big scale of the world. That is nature anyway, behind you. For this, and for human being, it's very difficult to do that. That's why teacher just you men did like this. Slap, or Rinzai said, push him up away. So that's why this is a point which the slapping him once, okay? It's not, violent. It's not violent. The monk said, I am still talking, means I immediately said, I want to talk about it. Because he knows. He knows immediately. He knows what enlightenment, what freedom is, because from which he feels good. Perfect. Simultaneously, the young man pushing me, waking up means completely one more feel. Okay? Go beyond this, feeling his feelings anyway. Go beyond something more than individual feelings. If you're attached to the nature from individual feelings, you cannot understand nature as it is because that is your feeling. So that nature, you understand from your feelings, is always changing, day by day, changing. It's very difficult to understand nature as it is. But we cannot escape. That's why you should feel something from nature, but next moment you shouldn't be anywhere blind by your feelings. So you have to wake up anyway. That is a contradictory anyway. Okay? So the American students always emphasize how you feel. Fine, that's fine. But fine is not always fine. Behind the fine, then it's not fine. Not fine is always waiting behind the fine. Okay, do you understand? That's why you have to fight. So it's very difficult. You can't always depend on your own feelings. So you have to wake up from that. And then, next, what you should do, you have to realize it. And Mark, anyway, realized that his own feeling of freedom, next moment, you men take him away from his feeling of freedom. That means total freedom, perfect freedom. So he really wanted to talk about it. So he said, I want to talk about it. He says, I am still talking. Means I want to contact with you. So you know pretty well how to make a human life free, and I know that. So I want to communicate with you. Then you men then extend his two hands. Means there is no words anyway. If you use the certain words, or if we can communicate the each other's in order to understand that perfect freedom through the words, through the custom, shaking hand, it's not real communications. So finally, what we should do? Just open his two hands, means exactly open. That is exactly you are. That exactly you have to be on the top of the on the top of that 100 feet high pole, and human and trees or mountains, all sentient beings must be on the top of 100 feet high pole as they possible with their best. At that time, we can communicate perfectly. So he's opened his hand. And then this monk really understands, wow, that's it. So he speaks. Then immediately, that is already he started. He was stuck by speeches. He's understanding. So next moment, you may swap again. Wake up. So we have to always do it. Okay, do you understand this one? I always do it. So, what is enlightenment? What is the body mind? What is the practice? What is the enlightenment? It's very interesting. If you practice like this, if you continue to practice every day, on the everyday basis, even small detail, so called sitting in the morning, okay? Every day, if you do it, you can learn something fantastic, you know, what you have never saw before. Not only for two years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, anyway, 30 years, it doesn't matter. Anyway, continue to do it. So, always we have to continue to belong to something and belong to the ideas and the views on the world and on the human world and teachings and groups, etc. But constantly you have to wake up yourself, okay? And then your life must be grounded. When you wake up, don't be crazy. Next moment, you are crazy about idea again. So, you have to wake up yourself, and then next, your life must be grounded. Instead of flying in there. It's very easy for us to fly in the air or to go down to the earth or hell. Please, you understand, go down to the hell means you melancholy or you become pessimistic, etc. So you can't do it. You have to go more or less go up or go down. More or less, everyone. Then, anyway, we have to come back, anyway, come back to the ground, and your life must be grounded every time. That is called body-mind, okay? A rising body-mind. Let's come back. Let's come back. Wake up. Wake up. Anyway, belong to the group. Wake up. Next moment, wake up. That is. And then next, your life must be grounded. That is practice. Practice means how can you keep your life balance, okay? Between going up and between going up and also that freedom, okay? Peace and harmony. How can you keep balance? That's pretty hard. So in order to wake up yourself, your consciousness must be clear always. Your consciousness works clearly always. Otherwise, consciousness becomes blind pretty easily. That's why we have to always wake up, alright? Then next you have your life must be grounded. Let's do something anyway. Different small details. Going beyond your feeling or bad feeling. Anyway, let's do it. Let's walk. This is the best way to penetrate through life and death. Understanding directly. Facing directly. Anyway, problem of life and death. This is the best way.
You say we have to stand up there without being attached to the teaching. Does that also mean we have to stand up there without being attached to the teacher?
I don't mean you shouldn't attach to the teacher. Well, that is the pre-excessive ideas. So in many ways you need a teacher anyway, okay? But on the other hand, you cannot attach to the teacher too much because you lose the sight of yourself. You kind of wake up yourself. That's why read Dogen Zenji mentions, even the ancestors Buddhas are not always right. It doesn't mean Dogen Zenji doesn't mean arrogant, that he becomes arrogant, ignoring Buddha's teaching or ancestors' teaching. Okay? Means he has to suggest us to wake up constantly. We have to depend on the teacher or teachings given by ancestors, Buddhas, but we have to constantly wake up. Means wake up means grow, practice. You have to grow practice. Okay. In order to grow, you cannot mold your life into a certain teaching or ism. Okay. Independently, you have to grow from the teachings and the certain ism. Okay. But you have to hook it. That's a little bit difficult. That's why we have to find out always way how to keep your life balanced between depending on the teaching and independent on the teaching. Alright? That is your practice. I don't know how, but you can learn. You can learn.
So if we're continuing to grow, does that mean like the Shakyamuni's teaching itself is continuing to grow,
mm-hmm.
and that the Dharma lineage itself is continuing to grow and mature?
Sure. Yeah. We have to grow. We have to be mature. Because life is already mature. Yeah? Life is already mature. That's why we have to take time to make life mature. Alright? You understand?
One question.
Yeah.
Which is, you said about the nature of a tree.
Mm-hmm.
What is the nature of a human being? Is it the same as the nature, Buddha nature?
Mm-hmm. Well, I just use the term nature.
Oh, okay.
But because nature, show us something more than we think, you know. I don't know how to say it. Do you understand nature? Well, nature, I mean, nature means nature is nature, anyway.
Well,
I don't know how to say it. Yes.
Actually, if you put the seed, mm-hmm. they grow,
mm-hmm.
and if it's the tree seed, and they become tree. Well, what I thought is, when a human being born and brought up in some society, the person somewhat become, in some point, is good, and but still worrying about the past and future. Is there a real human nature, or is there just an immature yet?
There is a human nature. Mm-hmm. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. There is a human nature. The same things as nature of the tree, nature of the bird, yes, it is. But nature must be demonstrated, shown by a certain form, so-called tree, so-called bird, you understand? Nature itself doesn't have any form or colors. It's no colors. It has no color, no smells, anyway. That is a nature. Do you understand what I mean?
Okay.
But it must be, that's why it's very difficult to realize it. That's why this nature manifests itself as tree, a form of tree, form of bird, form of a moss, something like that. Same applies to human beings. So, nature manifests itself as human body, human mind. And then if you have a form of human beings, human body, and the form of a tree, well, it must be grow. It must grow. In order to grow, it takes time. We need a time. If you take a time, that means you are already in the dualistic, because time is going from the past to the future, right? Dualistic sense, you know. Mm-hmm. All right. So you need a time in order to grow, means you must be in the dualistic world, in the time process, all right? So very naturally, you suffer. Okay? But trees, birds also suffer, but they don't say anything to us. But if you have a mind, well, you can see. Is that right?
What you're saying? If what you just said, if in order to grow you have to be at time, which means you're in a dualistic sense, does this mean that while you're growing, you can't be in that awake state, because you were saying, talking about the monk, doing this and then having to be awakened out of it right back into the presence. And so it sounds like, I thought that what you just said sounded like when you were growing, you couldn't be just in the present. Would you explain, please?
You grow means that you are always living at the time process, you know, stream of time, moment after moment. Okay? That means that through, you can understand through your through the form of your body. Okay? Then you understand the growth through the form of your human body, human mind, and then said, this is my life. Okay? But it's not good enough because you understand your life in terms of so-called time process. Okay. So that is a little bit a small, narrow understanding. So through the growth of your life, then you have to see bigger scale of the world, so-called nature, okay, which has no color, no smell, no form. That is called universe, in 10 directions, whole universe, we say so. Or Buddha nature, we say so. Anyway, we have to see bigger scale of the world where? In, within the growth of your life. Okay?
So, if I'm thinking growth of my life and just thinking that,
yeah. And experience, yes, experience, you can feel, you can touch anyway, because it's very clear. You know, time to time, from moment to moment, you can do something and then you grow and you can have a result. Mm-hmm. And then you can understand from your six senses and also feeling and the emotions. Anyway. And then we say, this is my life. But this is fine. But you have to wake up and you have to, anyway, push yourself away a little bit and see bigger scale of the world. Okay? So, practice is, anyway, we have to do like this. Constantly like this. And then also, when you do this, that is called imagining. Because it's not. It's really alive.
Okay. Yeah, so it always goes back and forth.
So back and forth from your through your head. That's why I said the flashing light. Mm-hmm. It's all the flashing light. At the intersecting of a street. You stop it. Stop is just a walk, you know. You have to stop actually anyway. And then next moment, flashing light. Yellow flashing light, blue and red, and also small cars, big cars, and animals, and lots of flashing light there. Okay? And then it makes you busy, anyone busy. But actually, you have to stop it. Okay?